nice to see everyone. Your bright faces, and you know, you look good. Can I say that? You look nice. You're welcome. I mean, that's a shameless plug for you to say the same thing, but I didn't get anything. Nothing. I'm just kidding. Well, we are talking about words tonight, and we have a couple of more this week and our last Proverbs of our whole study that we've been going through. Really quick, behind me, you'll see that we've been going through topics in Proverbs, and we've honed in on several of these, and you'll see that the Proverbs tree, and why don't you just go ahead and take all those out. You've got the trunk of wisdom, and then the fool, slugger, the friends, family, and then we're covering words tonight. Life and death will be at the end of this month. Next week, Chaplain Amy Maxwell is going to be speaking in here, and I will be in India next week. I'm going to be leaving tomorrow morning for 12 days, and I'll be in India. So I covet your prayers. Thanks for all of the encouragement. You guys are really excited to see me go. So everyone's like, hey, we can't wait till you go. And I'm like, is that good or bad? So, you know, anyway. And then the fear of the Lord, you know, is the substance of all the trees. So it's the beginning of knowledge, as Proverbs tells us. So we're jumping right in here to words tonight, because I've got several words to share tonight. And do you ever watch the local news and they say something, they'll kind of like set you up, right? You know, we have found the deadliest food in the world and you may be having it for dinner. We'll tell you tonight at 11. And you're like, 11? You know, I may already be dead, you know, by then. You know, they set you up and they use words to craft things. And things like, why is the smallest coffee a tall? You know, like it's trickery, you know? It's like they're trying to trick you into something and playing mind games with you. Or maybe you are familiar with the particular strand of DNA of the kidding people. I call them the kidders. Okay, and there's something like, you know, they say something mean, and then they say, I'm just kidding, like it erases erases it somehow. You know, like, did you just get a haircut? I hope you didn't pay for that thing. I'm just kidding. You know, and it's like, you know, ouch. You know, that you don't know how to kid properly, because if you're kidding properly, we're both laughing, and I'm not laughing, you know. But when it comes to words, Jesus got it terribly right in Matthew chapter 21 when he said, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And what comes out of your mouth verbally is a reflection of our heart. And I just want to tell you before we jump into all the practical things, and we're going to look at three different aspects that Proverbs talks about words tonight. I want to tell you before we get to all that practical stuff, if we'd let our hearts die to ourselves and the need to always be right, we'd get a lot of other things right, including our words. You know, the tongue is a powerful thing. It has the ability to tear up or tear down. It can heal or destroy. It can deliver words of life or words of destruction. Of all the things that Proverbs talks about, the thing that it talks about most is the topic of wisdom. But the second thing that it talks about more than anything else is speech, it's words. And Proverbs says, how you speak will shape your life. Unfortunately, it will shape others as well. And I want to talk tonight about three things. I want to talk about the power of our words, the character of our words, and the healing of our words. The first thing, the power of our words. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 18. And if you don't have your Bibles, all the scriptures are going to be on the screen tonight, and I'll try to go slow enough so that everyone can read along. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 18 says this, reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. You know, once you utter a word, you can't undo it. You know, imagine if you had a sword in your hand right now and you were in a battle, and you thrust that sword into someone's abdomen, and then you pull the sword out. Well, although the sword went in and came out, the wound is still there. That space, that damage, that harm is still there. Put a sword into someone and the wound's still there. Words can wound. And oftentimes, words are kind of like the analogy of that sword. Words have life and death. Words can kill. I mean, don't raise your hand, but for some of us, we know what it feels like to be called stupid or dumb, and as a small child, and somehow those things have a way of sticking with you. And you know, why do words have the power to kill? I believe that words have the power to kill because words also have the power of life in them. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 4 says this: "The words of a man's mouth are deep waters, but the fountain of wisdom is a bubbling brook." Later on in that chapter, in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 8, it says this: "The words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to a man's inmost parts." You see, the words affect not only the receiver, but the giver of those words. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 3 says, "A fool's talk brings a rod to his back." We looked at that rod word last week. "But the lips of the wise protect them." A fool's talk brings a rod to his back, but the lips of the wise protect them. You see, words, they clothe our thoughts. I have seen people and good friends of mine who have been in very difficult situations, relational tension, relational situations, and the words that they chose were so wise. And what they said actually helped to diffuse situations that could have been escalated to the point of major drama and everything. And the right words clothe the right thoughts. This scares the life out of someone who makes their living talking. This just scares. Every time I come to this topic in Proverbs, I'm like, I'm in the wrong profession, you know. What about this whole, you know, Proverbs that says, you know, you don't want to talk too much because, you know, it's easy to fall into sin. I'm like, oh, I'm in the wrong profession, you know. No, this is bad, you know. And but the power of our words, you cannot deny. There are powers. The power of the words of the giver and the receiver, it's like the sword that goes in and leaves a mark. A fool's talk brings a rod to his back, but the lips of the wise protect them. Words clothe your thought. They describe the things that are trying to be reflected. And oftentimes we're left speechless about things because our words fail us. We've seen the power of our words, but let's talk a little bit about the character of our words. This is sort of the bulk of the message tonight. There are five characteristics that I think Proverbs shows us that we should all be aware of. Characteristic number one: truthful and honest speech instead of deceptive speech. Number two, kind and gentle speech instead of harsh speech. Wise and apt speech, and I couldn't think of instead of, like, dumb speech maybe, I don't know. Anyway, forthright speech, and I got lazy and didn't say instead of any. And then fifthly is economical, so it started off good and days start getting late. Anyway, so truth and honest speech instead of deceptive. You'll fill in the blanks for you in a second. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 4 says this: "The tongue that brings healing is a tree of life, but a deceitful tongue crushes the spirit." Truthful and honest speech is what Proverbs talks about should be our practice. Well, instead of deceptive speech. You see, you can technically, and you'll all be familiar with this, or if you're not, then, you know, let's switch places. But, you know, sometimes you can tell technically the truth, but it still leads to deception. Because the truth, or not telling all of the truth, is actually a deception. And when you deceive someone, you actually put a facade over reality. You can ruin the possibility for someone to make wise choices by simply deciding to mask the truth. And so truthful, honest speech is imperative for our relational, for all of the relational complexities that you and I deal with to function properly. Truthful speech is a necessity. Terry Bleak, one of my professors at Central Bible College, once said, "Truth gives access to the Spirit." I'm not totally sure, even to this day, what that means, but it just sounds good, and I thought I'd throw it in there. Number two, kind and gentle speech instead of harsh speech. Kind and gentle speech instead of harsh speech. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1 says, "A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Now, straw poll, mass confessional time. We haven't done this for a while in here. If you have ever read this verse and applied its principles, I want you to raise your hand. This verse has helped so many people because it is so simple, yet so difficult, isn't it? And isn't that how the things in Proverbs, most of them are? They're very simple things, but yet very hard. That's why we're calling this series Where Scripture Meets the Road, because Scripture does absolutely intersect with our life, and it helps us if we understand its principles and apply them to our life. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 15 says this: through patience a ruler can be persuaded, and a gentle tongue can break a bone. A gentle tongue can break a bone. You see, gentle speech is the opposite of harsh speech. Literally, this word in the Hebrew, this harsh, means to cause harm to someone, to inflict on them some sort of damage, harm them. And so we understand that we don't belittle, this is a charge not to wrong, or and that our motivation must be to love. You see, gentle speech is something that sort of diffuses situations, but gentle speech is and can be painful for us to actually say. Because when someone pushes your emotional buttons, and what I mean by that is that each and every one of us have some sort of buttons that we have that when they're pushed through some sort of relational conflict, it causes us, like for me, the hair stands up on the back of my neck and I start getting, you know, all fiery on inside, you know, and I think to myself, okay, it's time for a gentle answer. A gentle answer, although so easy to read and say, yeah, that's exactly what needs to happen, oftentimes is painful, just absolutely painful to give. But gentle and kind speech is what Proverbs challenges us all to. Number three, these are characteristics of our words. Wise and apt speech. I really love this one. Wise and apt speech. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 32 says this: the lips of the righteous know what is fitting. The lips of the righteous know what is fitting, but the mouth of the wicked only what is perverse. The lips of the righteous know what is fitting. Now, Proverbs chapter 15, verse 23 says, a man finds joy in giving an apt reply, and how good is a timely word. You see, a word is wise when it fits the situation and it's in the right timing. A lot of times people take scriptures like speak the truth in love, and they really take that out of context to mean that we should live our lives like these renegade truth tellers that just inflict damage and harm on the people. And that's absolutely not what the scriptures are talking about. In fact, Proverbs helps us bring balance to that, that there is truth should be told, yes, but there should also be a right timing for it. You see, the right word at the wrong time can cause damage. Let me say that again. The right word at the wrong time can cause damage. There is the right thing to say, and there's also the right time in which to say that. You may have the truth, but you need, and I can only say this because, man, it's been, I've been painfully aware of this in my own life, and I know that probably you have too. I've gotten this right at times, and I've gotten this terribly wrong at times. We've got to pray not just about what to say, but when to say it, when to share a specific word that we may have for someone, or if it's resolving a conflict. It's not just what to say, but it's when to say it. You have a responsibility. This is kind of the whole gist of what Proverbs is getting to, is you and I, as normal communicators, okay, people who use speech to clothe our words, it's part of the power of our words, we actually have a responsibility to use our words wisely and aptly. As the communicator, we have to pray for adaptive words and timing. Meaning, we just don't go around spewing out just truth at any time, meaning in a relationship or something like that. No, it's also about what to say and when to say it. Two people, I think about a husband and a wife in just a hypothetical scenario, not that we would know anything about this. One comes from a family where they're somewhat an only child. Maybe they had older brothers and sisters, and in the house that they grew up in, everything was very calm. Everything was methodically worked out, and if there was a conflict, then we all came together, or they came together, and it just worked out because there, that's how it is. And take another scenario or another person, and things were more worked out verbally and with certain loud tones. If you're familiar with this particular strand of DNA, volume very high, and then you put these two people together, and it takes years to come to an agreement on how to resolve conflict. Now, I know that this probably doesn't mean anything to anyone in this room, but trust me, it means something to someone. And yes, two people from two different backgrounds, you have to understand, conflict was resolved in different ways. And so although there is truth to be said on both sides, there's also a right time and a right way to say things, which leads me to number four, forthright speech. You see, if you're kind and you have a gentle demeanor, perhaps a tad on the shy side, most people tend not to be direct if they're the shy, gentle demeanor. But if you're the type of person that you're very direct, you're very honest, most people that I know like this tend to lack in the area of mercy and gentleness, and they tend to say it and move on. And others tend to really maul over these words, and it's like, it really causes a stirring in their lives. Well, Proverbs is simply saying you need a little bit of both, because there's a time to say it, there's a time to be forthright, there's a time to speak the truth, and there's the right way to say it, there's the right time to say it, but we all need to be forthright. So if we're a little shy and gentle, we may need to be a little bit more direct. Some of us just like confrontation way too much, and we need to back off of that a little bit and say, look, you have to give people some freedom. And that's going to lead me to number five, and that's economical speech. I know you may say, well, this is, so you talk about money. No, economical speech. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 19 says this haunting verse for me. When words are many, sin is not absent, but he who holds his tongue is wise. I believe what this verse is really getting to is not necessarily speaking to people who communicate for a living, although that's it's a good joke. But, the more you are loose and careless with your words, the more likely you are to hurt people. And I find this to be very true in my own life. I tend to say things that I feel very quickly. And I'm just sharing a personal illustration. I tend to share things that I feel in my heart very quickly with people. And sometimes those things are good, and sometimes those things are more information than needed to be given in a situation. And again, when we started this series, I told you that there are certain moral codes that tell us how to act in our lives. But the majority of situations that you and I face, there's not a moral code to tell us. It takes what the Bible calls wisdom. It's the reason why we press in and we understand that Jesus is the is personified wisdom, like in John 1:1, that he's the Word, and he was with God, and he was God, and he was with God in the beginning. And so that's why we understand we can't separate the wisdom of God from a relationship with Jesus. But we understand that also, when it comes to our words, they're very powerful. And the more that we don't understand the power and the characteristics of our speech, the more loose that we just freely shout out things and speak things that are on our life, the more likely we are to hurt people. So we need economical speech. Sometimes the best thing to say is to say nothing at all. The last thing, the healing of our words. Ephesians sort of enlightens us a little bit on the words. This verse won't be on the screen, but it essentially says, don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. And I was just thinking through this message, this whole issue of lying came to my mind. And I didn't know how to work this into the message, but I think this is an important point to camp on for a moment. When we speak to people, we should speak to build them up and not to tear them down. And when we put a mask on the truth of something, or when we tell a lie, lying has a way, I believe, of building up a calloused heart towards God. And you may say, well, there are different categories of lying. Well, the Christian community is more than just, should be more than people who just sit around and they just say to each other what each person wants or needs to hear. The closest friends that I have in my life will look me straight in my eye and say, that was not right. And if all the people and the friends that you have around you tell you what you want to hear, I would say you need to add some friends to your life that aren't scared to tell you what needs to be said. And I am grateful for these friends. In fact, the older I get, the more I want them and need them in my life. You see, to mask certain things, in fact, at our men's breakfast this past Saturday, I was sharing this with the group of guys. Every the first Saturday of each month, we meet at Hemingway's for breakfast, and you're all invited to come. Although, I'm sorry, John, if you're here, you may want to RSVP with John Woodward. I don't think that back room would hold everyone in here. But anyway, so if you'd like to come, talk to me about it later. But I was sharing with them, Leo Crosby, who's down here, asked a question. He said, what cages do you have? And he listed these cages like, failure and fear and things like that. What cages do you have to constantly fight to get out? And when it came around to me, I said, I have the cage. I struggled to get out of the cage of failure. And the reason why I said that is because I have always had this sort of itch in me that I want to do good at whatever I do. And I... Even from a young age, I tried to do that. Well, this has sort of started, and I realize it now, you become self-aware of this, that oftentimes I would mask failure in order to present myself as a success. And I was telling this group of guys that it's important for me to tell you that I get in disagreements with my wife. It's important for me to tell you that I always don't feel great, or sometimes I feel horrible after I preach a message, or it's important for me to say that. Now, it may not be important for everyone in this room, but it's important for me because it helps me get out of that cage, that cage of sort of success, or the fear of failure, rather. And just to say, it's okay to let that truth be known. Because it's important for me, because I think the power of masking that is actually a form of lying. And because it's a lie, I think it's the opposite of what Ephesians and Proverbs is getting to about the healing of our words. That you cannot be truly healed until there's this amount and this substance of truth that you're willing to own up to in your own life. You see, we have to avoid the things that in our own lives that would cause us to maybe lie and to present ourselves as something different than who we really are. I mean, what's to lose if you're in a relationship and maybe there's two ladies go out for coffee and maybe you're trying to keep it all together, like that perfect that you want to be that perfect mom, and so you don't ever want to see, you don't want people to see your kids maybe acting wrong. And can I just tell you that, look, everyone's kids are different, and everyone's kids, they don't always obey. I mean, I've got some crazy kids, you know. I love my kids, but, you know, we've got you know, wonderful kids, but they've got great issues that need attention too. I mean, we all are sort of in the same boat. When you realize this, look, there's a God and I'm not Him, and we're all fallen at some point. We are all broken at some point. There's not anyone in this room that could stand and say, I'm perfect. And of course, we could go to Romans 3:23, which says we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Of course we have, because we live in this fallen place. We're free from the power of sin, but we still live here on this side of eternity in the presence of sin, because we are not yet with Christ in eternity. And see, that's why some of our words, they have the power of life and death. And so that's why we need to, a couple of practical things. We need to avoid those things that sort of sting people, you know, those stingers. I kind of call them stingers, you know, those things that you throw out, and it's like a dart that you throw out, it sticks in someone's, you know, someone's armor and someone's life, and you just walk away and you kind of look at them and you walk, and yet you've left that wound in them. You know where those buttons are in your spouse, and yet sometimes you make that conscious decision to push those buttons. You know, and let me just speak really quick here to the subject of profanity. You see, praise is the language of blessing, but profanity is really the language of bitterness. Profanity essentially is masking, because remember, Jesus got it terribly right when out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. You know, profanity is the language of bitterness. Profanity speaks of a bitter heart that is deep inside. So, what kind of applications and takeaways? I'm going to challenge us, first of all, that our mouths would be, they would be absent of lies. That our, I think about that movie, you know, I think there was a movie called Liar Liar. I think it was called that. Anyway, it's kind of a funny movie. The concept is that this guy, I can't remember the concept. Anyway, this guy can't lie. That's basically the concept. And I often think about that, like, does that make you nervous that you could, you would go around and not be able to tell a lie for 24 hours. You couldn't mask anything. And when you start to realize that, like if you actually had to say, it's like, oh my land, you know? Now, of course, is that what God is trying to get us to do? No, not actually. But we shouldn't tell lies. There are whys and things I said before. But our mouths should be lie-free zones. We should not mask or facade anything. There is a right time and a right way and the right thing to say, but yet not to mask that, not to mask the truth. And no manipulation. And boy, this is a huge word. So what can be manipulation? It could be yelling. It could be crying. It could be intimidation. These manipulation and these tools are essentially tools that control people without their permission. And it can be, many people are so good with their minds and with their words that they're actually manipulating people. They're controlling them without their permission. Every relationship sometimes suffers from being smothered. And I want to encourage you, even with this, that every relationship requires what I've heard called the oxygen of freedom, meaning that it's hard to want a friendship with someone where you feel there's no room to be yourself. If there's no freedom to be yourself, if because, you know, you sort of smother them and you're sucking the life out of them, I just want to encourage you, give them freedom. There can be really no friendship where you feel there's no room to be yourself. You have to give that space. So, in closing, how can we heal our own words? And I was thinking through and praying about this this afternoon, and I felt like, you know, the Lord took me to Acts chapters 1 and 2, and I read chapters 1 and 2 because it dawned on me that the day of Pentecost, that when these 120 believers were in the upper room and the Spirit of God filled this room, that He touched them in a very unique way. He filled them with the Holy Spirit. He empowered them in the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other tongues. You know, became very aware to me that it's out of the heart that the mouth speaks. The mouth can speak evil and bad things, or good, missional, God-honoring things. I mean, the Spirit of God comes to those believers, and He empowers them, He fills them with the Holy Spirit, and He gives them a heavenly language to communicate with Him. It's out of the heart that the mouth speaks. It's out of our heart that we speak to God and we speak to others. And yes, Jesus got it terribly right that He must first renovate our hearts if our words are going to be healed. I would encourage you this next week, although you should do it after too, but this next week, from this Wednesday to next, would you just sort of let there be this kind of self-evaluation of your words to sort of go on this next week? And let's be cautious of how many things we say. Let's be mindful of the hurtful things, those hurtful, harsh words that we may say, those characteristics. And, you know, maybe you need to pray about a wise and an apt word, or a truthful word instead of a deceptive word, maybe a kind and a gentle word to someone. Maybe you need to be more forthright with people and not be so shy. And maybe you like confrontation a little too much and it's time to back off. Maybe you have a tendency to say too much, and the best thing you could do is to listen more than you talk. And I encourage you this next week to really take an evaluation over your words and over the things you say. And may God, of course, renovate our hearts so that our words may speak life, not unwholesome and deathly things. Would you pray with me tonight? Father, I love You, and I thank You, Lord, that You do renovate our hearts. Lord, if we are a follower of You, I pray Your truth would work in us. Your truth would renovate our hearts, cause our speech to be life-giving instead of life-taking. Lord, I pray that we would, for those of us that have children, that we would pour in life to them. We would speak blessings over them and not cursings and not profanity. Lord, I pray that You would help us speak life into our spouses or into our close friends. Lord, I pray that You'd help us to understand the power of our words, to be used for You, to speak life into a world that needs life right now. Help us, I pray, renovate our hearts. Convict us. Challenge us with our words. May we speak and honor You. Lord, we love You. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Thank you for being here tonight. Why don't you turn and greet the people next to you? I see a lot of brand new faces, and it's great to have you here at New Community. Take a few moments and talk with one another before you leave. God bless you. We'll see you in a few weeks.